Hey there, you're welcome to Founders Connect, a show where I have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs and operators in Africa. This is the right show for you to be listening to if you love behind-the-scenes stories about people, their careers, and not their businesses. My name is PC Timmy, and I'm very, very, very delighted to be your host. You can follow this conversation on social media, hashtag Founders Connect. You can watch the video of each episode on my YouTube channel at PC Timmy, or just search for Founders Connect on YouTube to find the playlist. Also, please share this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, leave a rating, and you know, share it, hashtag Founders Connect. Enjoy the episode. Hey folks, yeah, welcome to another episode of Founders Connect. Here I have conversations with entrepreneurs and operators of leading startups in Africa. Today I'm having a conversation with someone who founded a disruptive company. I think that when people think about companies or tech startups that has disrupted or is actively disrupting something in the industry right now, Moon is one of those companies that will easily come to mind. And so I'm speaking to the CEO today, Abdul.
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
Good.
I'm very excited to meet you. So like, I want to ask as many questions as possible and basically just learn about like your journey. So it's not just about Mono, but like, who's Abdul? Like, where are you from? This kind of question.
Okay,
so you are ready to go. So
yeah.
Tell me about your background.
Okay. So because of my name, people always think I'm Hausa, because it's Abdulhamid
Azhar. You're not?
No. So I'm from Ijebu.
Oh!
So I'm a proper Ijebu guy, Ijebu de, to be precise. I left Ijebu in 2012.
So you grew up there?
Yeah, fully. I'm not a Lagos boy. So I moved to Lagos to join NIT. I don't even know NIT.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to start computer science. Like, I think engineering. So I was there for about a year, and then I left to start internship at MX. So MX is like one of the leading, I think USSD and Ringbacton company. So they offer it to all the telcos. So there I was like working as a front-end engineer. And yeah, that's like, My journey into like the tech ecosystem.
Did you go to school, or was it just NIT? Wait,
so yeah, I wanted to study computer science, mm-hmm. right? I applied to a couple of schools in Nigeria, but I didn't get to any. So my brother, he lives in the UK, so he was like, okay, why not just like travel out?
Right.
So I think 2015. Then I left Nigeria and I moved to Europe to study computer science, but then I dropped out.
Oh, you're one of the college dropouts.
Yeah.
Growing up in Ijebu Ode, what would you say was your favorite childhood memory, or is your favorite childhood memory now?
I think being able to walk my dad. So my dad is like the first Nigerian to start rental services. Right, so like all this, so you know, before you have to have tents. If you're doing like a ceremony, you have like tents outside, chairs and stuff like that. So my dad is actually the first person to start rental service in Nigeria. Yeah, so he was
so
like a proper business person.
Exactly.
So he was running multiple businesses from like catering. We were doing catering, we were doing water. Mm-hmm. We still have water today, like Namako water is in Ijebu. And it was doing, I think, poultry as well. So I enjoy just like walking. So it's like, yeah.
Interesting. So when you left school, I mean, you went to Europe to school and then you left. How did your dad particularly take it?
So I lost my dad in 2012. So yeah, I lost my dad after secondary school. So, so funny enough, so when I dropped out, I didn't drop out because I just wanted to like become Mark Zuckerberg, right? No, so I dropped out because I wasn't learning as much as I would like in university. And it was mostly me just like staying indoors, building stuff, like applying to accelerators and stuff. So I got into a tech accelerator in UAE called Flat Six Labs.
Right.
So, and they offered me, I think, $30,000 and a visa to like start your company in Abu Dhabi. So I was just like, instead of staying in this cold ass place,
I might as well take the money
and just like go to Abu Dhabi and just like build company. Because I enjoy building stuff. When I dropped out, I had to like forfeit my residence permit in Europe. So, and I didn't tell my mom. right? My brother knew, but he couldn't tell anyone. I was like, this guy that left Nigeria, he dropped out like first year in school. So
it was your first year?
Yeah, it was my first year. So, and then I moved to UAE to start the company. It was called the iFin.ai. It was an AI company.
And how did that go?
So it went well. We actually also got funded by the French government. So I moved to France after about 6 months in UAE. So the French government funded us with like 6,000 euros with 4 years resident permit. So I had like resident permit to like move to France. Mm. So I was living in France and then the company got acquired and then I moved back to Nigeria.
I do have one issue. We didn't know this. We thought that you're hustling for Oyapay, but it's like...
So yeah, and then I moved back to Nigeria to start Oyapay.
Okay, so yeah. Tell us about Oyapay. So you're like... I'm in France now, I've sold my company, I have some money in my pocket.
Exactly.
Now I can go back to Nigeria.
It was around like when Paystack and Flutter started. I was like, there's this
revolution happening in Nigeria.
I have to be part of it. Mm. Right? So I just like, okay, let me pack my loads and come back home.
So tell us about Oyapay. Like, what was the idea? How did it go? All of it.
Yeah, so when I was in France, I was just like reading about the story of how Tecno is actually making mobile phones cheaper. In Nigeria, so people now have like Android mobile phones. So I thought, okay, why can't we make it like a payment solution, right? Where you can pay with your mobile phone without internet. Because the issue then was like data, but people have mobile phones.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what if we make it such that you can use Bluetooth to pay each other? So if you're a merchant and you have Bluetooth enabled on your phone, I can use my phone to pay you offline, right? So that was idea about Oyapay then, and there wasn't Opay in the market. It was still very nascent. It was just like Paystack and Flutterwave and these guys. So that was Oyapay. The idea was like, how can we make merchants use their phone to accept payments offline? So we did that for about a year. We raised money, but then we couldn't scale because it was very hard to like sell to people. So we couldn't raise money. Then I reached out to Shola.
So we raised money the first time started, but then when you guys launched, there was not enough traction to raise
money. Exactly. And just other investors are addicts. So so I just thought like, okay, maybe now is the time to just like figure something else out, right? Okay. So, and then I reached out to Shola Paystack. So I've known Shola before Paystack. So he was running, I think, Precurio. So I reached out to him like, Baba, this thing is not working out.
My life.
So I had the meeting with Shola, and Shola was like, okay, why not you guys join Paystack? So myself and my co-founder is French. He's actually Ashu. His name is Ashu. So we joined Paystack. So I joined Paystack.
So Oyapay wasn't acquired, but stopped.
Exactly, and we joined Paystack. So I was a product manager there. And my co-founder was an engineer. He was engineering at Paystack.
And then you co-founded Voyance, right?
Yes.
And then you left Voyance and co-founded Mono.
Yeah, exactly.
So we can say for a fact that building has been in your blood.
Exactly. I enjoy building a lot. I mean, so when I joined Paystack, I saw there was a lot of things to do. Mm. And in my mind, I actually wrote it down the day I signed the agreement. Like, I wasn't going to leave this company. Right, like I love it here, right? So there's so much to do, right? But so Ebot is actually the founder of Voyance. It was actually called Omniscience then. Mm-hmm. So Ebot reached out to me and we were talking about what he was trying to do. He was still like working at Adela then. So the idea he had was, how can we build a machine learning platform that can take data and just like help me make decisions, right? And while working at Paystack, I saw that was so much data and we could use this to like do a lot of things. So it's like, this is interesting. So then I joined him as a product person and so as a co-founder. I was actually the one that gave it the name Voyance, because Omniscience was like, Voyance is like, yeah, it's better. So we changed the name to Voyance.
Totally.
And we could call ourselves Voyance. Like, so it all worked together. So So I joined him as a product person and just like help figure out like how to sell the product, because it was very, very technical, right? So I just like, how can we package this in such that if you want to sell it to people, they will understand the value, right? Mm-hmm. And also like, and just we went from there.
So how long did you spend at Voyance before Mono clicked and you're like, I think there's something I want to go and leave again and build?
So actually, Mono wasn't started as something that I wanted to build. It was like a fun project, right? Because Voyance is like a great company. It's like, I didn't want to leave because I left pay start.
You want to leave pay start?
Yeah. So, I was, I think about a year, and during COVID, during the lockdown. So I was just trying to like play around because I used to be an engineer. I used to code. So there's something like that in the US called Mint, right? But then the infrastructure to power such application just wasn't there yet, right? So there's Plaid in US, there's TrueLayer in the UK and things like that. So I then just like called upon a friend of mine. Like we've been working together for about 7 years. Everything that I've worked on, we've done it together. His name is Prakar.
Oh, so he has been your CTO technology.
Yeah. So like, I have two friends that whenever I have an idea on, I call upon them. Like, okay, I have this idea. Let's do this. So I told him like, let's just build this infrastructure to power this application, right? Mm-hmm. Again, it's a fun project, right? I just want to play around this thing. So we built like the first integration with GT Bank. And we were able to like get bank statement transactions and account data from my GT Bank account. Mm. And then we did other banks like Kuda and things like that. So I was able to like see all my account in one application. Amazing. So we put it up on Medium. Like, and what was interesting, people reached out to me about the infrastructure, not the app. They didn't care about the app. It was like, I know this infrastructure that you've used to build this amazing application. So I just said like, this thing is not for third party use. Like this is like, it's still very early. Like it's my break. So, but they were like, yeah, we want to get access to it. So as a product manager, you know, when you see people requesting for things that you didn't necessarily like set out to do, the idea bulb just clicks on you. Like, why are people asking for this? So, and we just like decided to like turn it into a platform, and that was it. So it wasn't like I wanted to like build Mono.
How did the name come about though?
So funny enough, when we got our first investment, the day that the person wrote us the check was the day I came up with the name Mono. And the reason why I called it Mono was because we wanted to like bring together all this bank data into one place, and Mono means one, so it's like Mono.
Right.
And that was it.
That's amazing. Yeah. So like, it feels like everything that you've done was sort of like leading here. Would you say that?
Exactly. I always tell people that even when I used to talk to like my colleagues at Mono, like I feel like everything I've done in my life, every experience that I've had, like from Latvia to Dubai to Abu Dhabi, back to Nigeria to Paystack, like everything just like accumulated to like help me to like build Mono. Right.
What has been the biggest challenge? Because I'm asking this because you have like a wealth of experience building startups.
Yeah.
Right. And working in startups. Yeah. Right. So you worked at Paystack. By the time you're working at Paystack, Paystack was already doing well.
Exactly.
Right? You've sold a company in a different country. Yeah, so you have all of this experience that will make it seem like you'll be an easy ride. But I think it's not. So
it's not. So in the ecosystem, people can raise money on crazy valuation and without having like a product or having a team, right? But in 2014 to 2018, it was so hard for me to raise money. And funny enough,
that's when you're building Oya period.
Yeah. Most of the people that I reached out to then later invested in Mono. So it's like all these people have kind of like seen my journey and how I've also they're like, yeah, I think this guy is on the right track now. So I think it's been a long journey, just like figuring out exactly what I want to build, the kind of legacy I want to leave in this world.
And Mono is that?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is.
What has been the biggest challenge so far? If raising money wasn't, what else was?
I think being able to bring people together and say, okay, this is the mission. Right, I think it's not a problem, but it's just like something that you have to like keep on iterating, right? So it's like, okay, this is why we're here, and this is why I think this is like one in a lifetime company. So I mean, finding people who can commit to your idea, to your vision, is really hard because if you look at it today, the people can get hired and work remotely in the US and paying them.
Pay them well.
So it's like it's very hard to find people that will be committed to your idea and say, okay, let's solve this problem, right? So my job as like the CEO of the company is just trying, how can I sell? Because I feel like it's you being able to sell, right? How can I sell to these people? Where like spending your time here is better than any other thing that you could have been doing, right? So it's like a very hard.
Wait, as in, I know I remember. There's this new Twitter account that sprung up recently. One Nigeria co-founder said.
Exactly.
Like, what? This is the best time to work out Mono.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you guys have raised like, I think, 2 or 3 rounds already.
In a year.
How?
So I think back to what you said, like everything that I've done, then I understand what investors are looking for
now.
How to like talk to investors, right? Mm-hmm. What do you need to have before you say, okay, I want to raise money, right? So for example, now when we started the company, we got a check of $100,000, right? That was the first check-in. And when we did that, our investor, the angel investor, was like, guys, don't raise any money. If you need any money, come back to me.
Was that, so it was one person that gave
you
$100,000?
Yeah. So I would have mentioned the name. You would know him. He's like a very well-known founder.
Tell me on the side so that I can not start thinking about that product.
He's a well-known founder of like a unicorn.
We know already. Let's
so, what happened was some of our customers wanted to invest in the company, which is very, I've never seen that before. So I was like, okay, we don't want to take any money, but I would like to take money from our customers, right? Because it shows that we are trying to solve a real problem and they want us to succeed. Mm-hmm. So we have two major African Nigerian company that are invested in Mono, right? They are customers. So we closed around and then we got into YC, right? Even YC, and I've applied to YC with every company I've started, right? My profile on YC profile has like the list of companies I've started in my life. Right, so when we applied to YC, like we got in once, like it was just interview and we got in. And that's why I felt like Mono is that company, but I just like had to like go through all these other things
to get here.
To get there. So we then raised the 2 million round after YC, and also we just closed our Series A.
Hey, and this is how many months now?
This is a year. Mono, we became 1 year some months ago. Yeah.
Interesting. So if you raise Series A now, so you're like maybe under 24 months, probably in be like IPO stage.
No. So, we still have a lot of things to figure out.
So when Mono started, it was strictly like mostly a B2B product, right?
Yeah.
Like infrastructure. But then I realized at some point that you guys were building MyPass. That was mostly consumer facing. Do you want to talk about
it? I think one of the things about the company that I really love is like we like to try things. And if we quickly realize that this is not the right way, we don't like
push.
No, like we just like to say like this is it. So the idea of MyPass then is actually kind of like related to the bigger mission at Mono, which is like how can we power the internet economy in Africa. Mm-hmm. So with MyPass, what we wanted to do is like how can we help consumers aggregate all their login information in one place such that you can use it as a one-click login, right? So because if you look at it, if you want to like register on any financial application today, they ask for your information, they ask for your passport, they ask for your account, your card, everything. So now imagine you doing that for like multiple applications, right? And there's like a lot of fintech applications coming up every day, right? So what we want to do is like have like a digital identity, right, where you can have all your data in, and that can be enabled on all applications. And if you want to sign up, you just click login with my pass, and then it gives you your information.
So why did you kill it? Because so, it sounds like a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it is. But when what we realized that we don't want to compete with our customers, right? So what we want to be is that infrastructure where a lot of amazing things can happen, right? So the idea now is like, let's just focus on the infrastructure business and make it the best infrastructure such that people can think of ideas like MyPass, and then we can enable them to do that. Because that's what started as Mono as well. Because I had like this idea and I needed an infrastructure to power it, right? So that's why. Not because the idea is like bad, the idea is really good. We actually have someone building that right now on top of our infrastructure.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So like it sounds like the mission is very clear, right? And when you were talking about one of the challenges is like, how do I hire or how do I sell this mission to the right people so they can buy into it regardless of the dollars that you're offering them and they get in there.
Exactly.
But so aside the mission-driven company that you're building, what else about Mono makes it into that legacy that you see that?
So I think if you look at it, like 2016, when Paystack and Flutterwave started, they actually brought online a lot of businesses, right? Now, because of this, the economy itself is growing, right? But we're at a point now where all those businesses that Paystack and Flutterwave have enabled, they need to like onboard these customers.
Right.
Right. Think of like RemMoney. RemMoney is a lending company. They need to like bring on board customers to lend to, right? But the process is still like, before money, it was very manual, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to like maybe go to your bank, get a statement, mm-hmm. download and upload it, mm-hmm. right? But now, in the click of a button, you can log in with your bank details on Mono Widget, and then we can automatically fetch that data from the bank and give it to Rem Money. So right. Rem Money can now offer loan to people at a crazy speed. So that itself is actually like enabling the economy, right? So people can now get loan for whatever they want to use it for. It might be maybe school, it might be starting a business. That itself is like helping the economy, right?
Very nice. Yeah. And it's like you've rehearsed it, so it's like it's in your blood.
Yeah, I have to like say these things every day. Like we just hired like 10 more people and we're about 29 now. So
wow.
So I have to like do this every day. Like this is why you have to work at Mono instead of like maybe traveling out.
But what kind of people do you look out for when you hire though?
So I try to look for people like me, but way better. So what I mean is like for me, I wouldn't call myself workaholic, like, but I try to put everything into what I do. So I'm looking for people like that as well. And people that can clearly articulate their ideas. They are not afraid of like, okay, maybe someone might turn down my idea, right? I really love people that are very outspoken, right? Mm-hmm. So because if you can really articulate what you're trying to say, it helps even if it's like across generally, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you're interviewing, like you're able to like say, okay, this is how I can help your company, mm-hmm. right? So those are the kind of people I'm looking for, and those are the kind of people I've hired.
So people that are like you, they are very articulate, yeah. very passionate, yeah. but much better.
Exactly, exactly. I don't like being the smartest in the room. Mm. I love when I'm in a room where people are, I can give them idea and they can blow it up, right? Yeah. So yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Now, one of the issues that Mono might be facing just on the consumer end is like security, right?
Yeah.
I remember when I was signing up on Get Equity and I saw like the whole Mono thing was signing up, I'm not giving your data out. And I'm like, okay, I had to read it. So how are you guys, on the consumer end, like, it's probably easy to sell to businesses because they understand the value and like, we have been waiting for this.
Yeah.
But for users who would then use the product and see that somebody is collecting my data, how does that work?
So it's three things, right? So number one, it's consent-based. And what this means is that we can't get access to any bank account unless the customer says, these are my login details and I've given you consent to get that data on my behalf and give it to this business. And that's number one. And now, on that, we ourselves, we actually don't see that data because for the banks to accept the details, it has to be encrypted. Mm. So everything is encrypted. Mono can't see anything, so it's encrypted. And then the second part is like, we've also built something called Portal. So Portal allows you to see all the businesses that you've linked your account with and all the accounts you've linked on the Mono ecosystem. So you can then say, okay, I want to revoke access to Rem Money. I want to revoke access to Get Equity, right? Also, I want to like purge all my information from Mono database, right? So we see the end user as like the owner of their data, right? Like the owner of their data, they have the owner of their information. So we try to like give them all the powers to be in control, right? Mm-hmm. And then the third one is just like a better custom experience. So now we're launching like a new widget. So the idea is that if you can make it easier for people to like say, okay, I want to give access to my data, right? And it doesn't look really bad because experience is everything, mm-hmm. right? If you can design the experience such that it's enjoyable, right? Yeah, so that kind of thing, like those are like, because design is very key in everything we do and in this aspect as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. So like with this lot of companies that you've built, this experience in building companies in different countries and not being in the ecosystem, what would you say has been like your biggest lesson so far?
So I think number one, don't raise too much money. Yeah.
But you've raised Series A in 1 year.
I'll tell you why. So I think Series A, Series B, Series C, that's when you can raise a lot of money because by then you figure out what your product market fit, like what it looks like, your customer segment, what you need to put money on, right? But I see companies at pre-seed raising million, like 5 million, like it's a lot of money up front and you're also giving a lot of equity up front,
right?
And the problem is that even, for example, now Mono, we pay people really well, but the 2 million that we've raised, we still have like a lot of it in the bank.
Right.
So, and we've given out a lot of equity out, right, to these investors, right? It's the investors are like really good now because people see other startups raising pre-seed of $3 million.
You say, I want to also raise,
exactly.
I want to raise like $10 million.
Exactly. But the problem is that you're selling a lot of your company upfront, right? Because when you get to Series A, you then look at your bank and you're like, we still have a lot of money in our bank account. But you need to raise that Series A because you need to scale. You need to start hiring more people. You need to expand and things like that. But you still have that seed money in your account, right? So my sense is that at the pre-seed, you raise maybe 150, 250, right? Or 300 maximum, 300, right? And then maybe like seed round, you raise $1.5, $1 million. Like, because the idea is that even at those stages, you still don't know a lot of things. It's still very unclear. If anyone tells you that they understand what the company is at seed, it's a lie. Because you don't even know who your customer is. You're just winging it, right? So it's when you get to Series A, Series B, when you understand who your customers are. Like, okay, these are the things that we need to do to get to this point. We know who our customers are. We know the products that we want to build, right? We know the people we want to hire. We know where we want to expand to, right? And this is why we raise Series A,
right?
But when you at seed and pre-seed, you're raising so much money that most of these are still in the bank when you raise Series A. It doesn't make sense. So just don't raise too much money, right? And then I think the second one is to like keep your cap table very small. I see a lot of investors. Yeah, I see a lot of entrepreneurs today just like crowding their cap table for the sake of, okay, let me just take this money from this person, right? You want to take money from people that can add value, not just money. There's so much money in the ecosystem now. So you want get an investor on board that would help you grow as an entrepreneur, that will also help you grow your company, right? I mean, it's okay taking like 1K, 2K check from your friends, right? But when it becomes too much, it becomes headache, right? Unless if you maybe create like an SVP where you pull all of them together in one place, even that, it becomes an headache, right? So those are another, I think the last one is just like, hire the best people, right? Don't ever compromise on hiring. Up until now, I still do most of the, like, I think 80% of everyone in the company today, I interview them myself, right? And this is, I think, seed, pre-seed to Series A, you should, as a CEO of the company, you should interview people, right? Don't say, okay, let me.
But why though? Some people would say like, hire maybe like a HR person or CEO and trust the person enough, and then you can.
We have an HR person. An HR person won't really explain the company in a way that might get people excited like yourself.
Right.
HR is like the end, like they come at the end part, right? So okay, we've agreed on salary. Now let's discuss when you're joining. That's HR. Yeah. You don't want a situation where the person you've hired, the recruiter you've hired, they're just doing their job to get their money. But you're doing your job to make your company the best, right? You have to put in everything to like sell the company and like understand how they can also add value to the company. Because recruiter, they have like numbers. So you have to like hire 50 people. They can just like hire those people and done, right? And then maybe like 2 months later, you then realize you've made a bad hire, right?
To get involved in it.
Exactly. Till Series A, like get involved. Understand the people that you're bringing in, like know that they can add value to your company and they're actually excited about the mission, right? Because most people are like, it's okay to work for money, but it's also, I always say something like, if it's not fun, don't do it, right? Like if you are coming to, like if you're waking up in the morning and you're like, I want to sleep. And you're not like, no, I want to start working again, like just quit. Right,
it's important to love the company that you work for.
Exactly, and just love the mission, because if you're excited about the mission, if you're excited about the company, that's what I say.
Amazing. So Mono has grown to Series A in a year, 29 people in a year.
Yeah.
Have you ever woken up one day, I'm like, oh my God, we're growing so fast, I'm scared.
Oh yeah, every day. every day. I mean, when we raised the seed round and we did our first offsite, and I saw the people that we've hired, the amazing people that I was like, wow, like these are the people that I am. How will I put
it? They're boss.
No, not even boss. Like I'm responsible for.
Right.
So like I need to make sure that the company runs, right? Because they've put their life and their life and just say, I want to work at this company. So I have to make sure that the company doesn't die, the company goes forward, right? So it's a lot of pressure, right? So like the future of these people are in your hands. So now we're 29 and like, and I'm 25 years old. So it's like, it's a lot of pressure, but it's a fun and interesting thing. So I think just having a really great co-founder really helps as well.
Amazing. What would you say is your wildest dream right now that is not work related?
I think traveling abroad with my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. The last time she traveled abroad was when she went to Hajj, the Muslim pilgrimage. Yeah. I would really like to travel with her to somewhere. Yeah.
That's just like, let's go and have fun.
Yeah.
Your son is rich.
Yes.
And when you're not working, what are you doing?
I recently just got engaged.
Congratulations.
I'm having my wedding is in December.
Are we invited?
Yeah, sure. So mostly just in house, just like probably watching Netflix or reading books. I really love reading because like there's so much information, and also like just like helping startups. Recently I started also like angel investing, and it's mostly just like me having a passion of building. It's really interesting. I would really love to help you. So these are the kind of things that I do during the weekends.
Amazing. Yeah. What's one city that you haven't been to yet that you want to go and where?
Let me think. I recently was in Maldives. So probably South Korea.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know, but I've seen the pictures, the videos. It seems like a futuristic country.
Who do you say has had the biggest influence on you?
I think my dad. Like I said, like he had like a lot of business, right? And so funny enough, my dad became a millionaire at 20 years old. Right.
And you became a millionaire.
No, not yet.
19.
I usually talk to myself like, okay, my dad, this by 20, I would love to do the same. Right. So and that's been one of the reasons why I've always been like, I always try to push myself. Right. It's like, this is not the best I can do. Right. Same thing when I was in school. It's like, I can't be spending my time here. I don't think I can become a millionaire. Just like graduated, people have done it, but I don't think I can do it. I think I can do it by building companies, by building like making impact on people. It's been my dad.
Amazing. And my very final question is, aside the advice or the lessons that you've learned about not raising too much money, hiring the best people, what would you say to people who want to enter the tech ecosystem? And not just as entrepreneurs, because the tech ecosystem is booming, right?
Yeah.
I saw a tweet like 2 weeks ago. Somebody said, if you want to be a millionaire fast, let's go to tech, right?
It's a lie.
But just like people who are looking and like, oh yeah, there are a lot of young people, especially who are building awesome stuff. They're no longer like 40s and 50 people.
Yeah,
people are 25 who are building million-dollar companies. Yeah. So like, someone who wants to like, who's aspiring to work in the ecosystem, what would you say to them?
I think one thing you should do is like, first like understand and recognize the company that you like to work for, right? So for example, you say, okay, you think you are an excellent engineer, and you want to be part of the startup ecosystem. So the first thing is like, look out for that company or the CEO that you would love to work with. Mm-hmm. Now then reach out to them, because companies, so for us now, some of the roles, we don't have them published. But if people reach out to me, I would talk to them and say, okay, I would love to work with, I would like to understand how you can add value. So I would advise that look out for companies that you love to work with. Reach out to the CEO, try to understand what they've built and understand how you can add value from day one. And I think if you can do that, people would want you in, right? Yeah. So if you've tested the application, you see some errors, right? If you go to the CEO and say, oh, this, they would say, look, you've done your homework. It's not just you want to come and take salary, right? Yeah. So I think that's one thing you should also do. And I think the second thing is also work with companies that have grown, right? So I think me working at Paystack really helped me, right? Because I was able to see how you can build a company from like 0 to 100, right? Mm. How to run a company, how does operation looks like, how does engineering looks like, how does like product management looks like. Because then I was like, I usually just like try to understand everything, right? So I would advise to like work with companies that you think are at the growth stage, and just like, even if you might even take a cut on your salary and you say, I just want to work there. Because working at a successful startup, you would learn a lot very quickly, very, very quickly. Look out for companies that are in the growth stage and just like reach out to them and say, well, these are the things I can do. I'm happy to like be an intern and just like work with you guys. It really helps. Yeah. And I think probably the last one is just like, understand what value you can give. Right? And because the thing now is, if you're an accountant, for example, there are people building solutions to automate accounting, right? So you want to look at, like, have like a broader thinking, like, okay, apart from accounting, what else can I do that is actually like somewhat related to accounting, but that can help the company, right? So maybe like you want to like venture into like maybe data analytics, right? That can also help you as an accountant, because if you can write SQL query and get data you want, it will make your work faster. And if they're hiring and you say, okay, I also have this skill set, they will be like, yes, you have something other than just like accounting, right? So I think that will also be helpful as well.
Amazing. And this has been like a trend. Whenever I ask someone, like, what would you say to people who are entering the ecosystem? Yeah. They're like, before you even think about building or all of those stuff, what value can you give? Because even as the founder, you need to be able to have some experience or skill set that you can put into your company.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly.
And I think that's on that note that we'll end this video. Like, when you think about this video, always think about value and mission. I think that's something that having a conversation with you has shown. Like, I know, Mono, what you guys are building is awesome, but just listening to you is like a very mission-oriented company, and that makes like a world of difference. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming and
having
this
conversation. Thank you so much for
having me. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast to the end. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I hope that you have been inspired or motivated to get better in your careers, in your businesses, in your life. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the videos on my YouTube channel at PCTimmy, or just search for Founders Connect and you'll find the playlist, and then subscribe to the channel. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it. Leave a rating also so more people can find it, and also talk about the episode that you listen to. #FoundersConnect across social media. Hey, I'll see you in the next episode. Peace out.